the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us.
We gon' take it up. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in.
Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers.
Tell them, turn me up. DJ Focus Dice Gamble, this one for the hustlers.
This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
We gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up.
Yes, sir. You tune back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
Hey, and it's your girl Dice Gamble in the building checking in. Time to wake up. You already know. Fix is in. On one again, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to everybody who enjoyed that Super Bowl game yesterday. Our brother Justin Adams is coming with that Faith in Sports report. So, listen, we gonna just keep it locked. You want to hear this Faith in Sports report?
It's gonna
be amazing. Yeah, they just hang tight. I know everybody's still probably creeping up over, just waking up, just getting up, and just had a great time last night. But our Faith in Sports report is taking it to a whole nother level when you talk about everything we're doing with that report. So keep it locked for all of the Super Bowl updates and everything that went into it, all the fancy commercials and all that good stuff in the Faith in Sports report. That's going to be amazing. But we thank y'all for waking up with us. Another blessed day. Listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And come on and get up. I know y'all might, like I say, had you a great Super Bowl party last night. But shouts out to everybody that still got to go to work today. Because we need y'all still to get up and we need y'all to show up and make sure you're still showing up and representing God to the best of y'all ability. So come on, get up, be great. Of course, y'all know our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. Shouts out to everybody just waking up this blessed Monday morning. Thank y'all for just rocking with us and tuning in. We know this is Lover's Week. Shouts out to everybody getting ready for Valentine's Day this weekend and enjoying their significant other, spouse, and just going ready to have a good time. Listen, this show all the way lit. Y'all know what y'all tuned in for. We back at it again, Dice, another Monday.
Yeah. Let's hit
it. I think, this Real Talk conversation today, it's going to be a little different. I think we got to, talk about these things. When you talk about everything that goes into, discipline in a relationship. This convo going to be a little different today for the people.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know what? People need to be disciplined, especially if you are in a relationship. And I know discipline sounds like a hard word, but it's just pretty much consistent and faithful, being adamant about doing certain things, when you should do certain things, or when you should not do certain things. So, this is a tough one because you want to be an individual a lot of times and do what you want to do. And it's different though when you get married. It's different. It changes. It's not just about you anymore. It's about the whole crew, and it's about a team. So that team mindset has to, be a little disciplined in areas to do what's best for the team.
For the team. And you own the team. So shouts out to everybody who think you own the opposite team. No, you guys are on the team together. Yeah, shouts out to y'all. Y'all win together. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Our spiritual detox features. Listen, I think he a pastor at heart. He going to come on here and say he ain't a pastor, but I've had some great conversations with him off air, and he is very much sold out for God. But he is a super talented actor, writer, and he does a lot of things in his space, but specifically in acting. He lets it be known that he is a believer, and he even says he turns down roles if there's a little bit that's going to mess up what he feels like is his spiritual journey or his spiritual walk, or, you know, put his spiritual belief in any type of question. So, yeah, we're going to get the super talented Michael J. Patterson on with us today to talk about everything dope he got going on. He's working on a lot of specials. He got some exclusive movies on Netflix coming out real soon, too, as well. So, yeah, keep it locked for that exclusive spiritual detox. Y'all know Dice got that news in 90. And come on now. Y'all know what it is. It's Monday. I have that Lyrics for the Mind where, you know, I talk about everything. When you talk about, you know, certain songs, break the meaning of them down and break down some of the mental health themes in the lyrics to help you guys get better and continue to let's address the stigma of mental health. So, yeah, keep it locked for that. And, of course, we have to report the breaking news that came in late yesterday afternoon. Unfortunately, listen, prayers up to Pastor Joe Osteen as he responded to a woman coming in and firing during the service yesterday. Joe Osteen, he released a statement after a woman in a trench coat opened fire with a gun inside of his mega church. The shooting at the Lakewood Church in Houston took place shortly before the 2 p.m. Spanish service was set to begin. Now, two off-duty officers were working security. They actually confronted and killed the unidentified suspect. Police said that two people were shot and injured as well, including a five-year-old boy who was entered the church actually with the woman, and the young boy was taken to the hospital and is currently in critical condition. Again, Joe Osteen released a statement saying, "Our community is devastated in today's event and grateful for the swift actions by the law enforcement who were on the site." He went on to say, "In the face of such darkness, we must hold on to our faith and remember evil will not prevail. God will guide us through the darkness of times. Together, we will rise above this tragedy and stand firm in our commitment to love and support one another. In times like this, our faith is tested, but it is also strengthened. We don't always understand why things happen like this, but we know that God is in control. Please join me in continued prayer and healing and hope for peace." And it's actually, you know, it's signed by Joe Osteen. This is a statement, official statement he put actually on his all his social media platforms too as well. So you can go to Joe Osteen's social media platforms to read that statement I just read. But we definitely are, again, praying for everybody that was, you know, impacted by this situation. This is just, you know, something that, you know, you would think you're going to a safe haven, your church, just to praise and worship, and you never know when things like this are going to happen. So yeah, we're definitely praying for everybody that was at this live taping yesterday, that was in the church. Definitely everybody who's injured, and we'll have more details on this coming up as the story continues to unfold.
Dice Campbell from The Fix, and this is your News in 90. If you're looking for a way to be more kind in 2024, creating a wall of kindness in your community may be the thing for you. Everything from donation bins, medicine banks, used clothing, shoes, books, etc. You can leave something you don't need or take something you do need. Wall of Kindness allows you to register your wall that helps your community on their actual site, so people can donate to your wall from all over the world. For more information, go to wallofkindness.org today. And if you're looking for ways to save money on engraving, you may want to buy yourself a laser engraver for your home or your business. Laser engravers are the hot new ticket item for 2024 that saves you money when it comes to creating everything from earrings, engraving special messages onto metals, and so much more. The Glowforge laser engraver gives you plenty of options to engrave on leather, paper, metal, acrylic, fabric, food, and even veneer. For more information, information, go to glowforge.com today. And if you're looking for a quick, fast way to learn and apply new skills, LinkedIn Learning may be the thing for you. With so many courses, including goal setting, Excel essentials, communication, and cultivating a growth mindset, LinkedIn Learning has three different plans for you to choose from: an individual plan, a plan for teams, and a plan for your organization. For more information, go to learning.linkedin.com today. I'm Dice Gamble, and this has been your News in 90.
All right, Dice, come on. National what day is it today?
Well, listen, you kind of hinted to it earlier today. You was like, listen, y'all know it was game day yesterday, but it's time to get on up. Today is actually National Football Hangover Day. Turns out, each year on the day after the big game, okay, National Hangover Day offers, some comfort to people. But since 1969, fans across the world have participated in this event in America. However, the next day, it's estimated that over 14 million people call into work sick.
You said 14 million?
I said 14 million. One phone calling sick the day after the game. And if this applies to you, congratulations, you have officially joined, a lot of people who are participating in, National Football Hangover Day. So hashtag yourself. I wouldn't post it on my Instagram. I really would not do it. I just wouldn't do it. But if you want to, go ahead. If you know you got a hangover because you drank too much, or you got a pounding headache, or you just stayed up too late, or you just distraught that your team lost, we get it. It is National Hangover Day from football. Mm-hmm. It's wild. But wow. They did say over 14 million people have symptoms ranging from headache, nausea, fatigue, and actually being really thirsty.
Well, it's no brainer if they're thirsty because, dehydrating. So, yeah, you definitely got to get a lot of liquids in you. Fluids. So, yeah.
So, yeah. They say drink tomato juice or eat a raw egg or...
Tomato juice?
Yeah. So, they said this helps you get over this, sluggish, hangover-ish thing you got. Tomato juice, clam juice, a little bit of Tabasco, Worcestershire, lemon juice. Mm-hmm. Gone and candy up on those.
That's a weird concoction right there.
It's trying to help you get over National Football Hangover.
You said the raw egg too as well. Yeah. You said just do the Rocky on them. Put the two or three of the eggs in the thing and just gulp them down.
Yeah, and ESPN started this, so it was submitted by some ESPN hosts and some sports personalities January 2019, and it was just a way to give the fans something to celebrate. Because this many people after the big game, they just call out.
All right, well, yeah, shouts out to everybody who took advantage, I guess. I don't know what to say. I pray y'all still got jobs tomorrow,
right?
I don't know what to tell you, because I know some people, some employers probably a little upset that understaffed and they still got to go through a full day and try to figure out how they can cover every single position throughout the day. So all right, y'all, coming up, come on. We got the super talented actor, screenwriter too as well, Michael J. Patterson, will be joining us real soon. Also, shouts out to our brother Justin Adams coming with that Faith in Sports Report with the full Super Bowl recap. The full Super Bowl recap. So don't touch nothing. We're going to a quick break. We're coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's time for our spiritual detox. And listen, we're in for a treat today. When I tell you, it's every so often we get a chance to have some amazing people come through. And I'm excited to have a conversation with this award-winning actor who has been doing some powerful things. Oh, and by the way, too, as well, he loved Jesus, too, as well. So anytime we can get somebody who loved Jesus in the spaces that he's in, you talk about everything, with movies and everything that goes into voiceover work, we need to continue to have believers there who can have some integrity. But also, absolutely, they got to do their job, too, as well. So listen, without further ado, help me welcome in the super talented Michael J. Patterson. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Listen, I was excited, too, as well. I was preparing for this interview. And I was looking through your education, And I see you tiptoe through Wilberforce as well as Central State. And, you know, I'm in Ohio. So I was like, oh, he been through my state a little bit. I know you from the DMV area, but at least I know you did experience some things here in Ohio while you were here, especially with your education. So shouts out to you for that. I actually had multiple cousins that graduated from Central State too as well. So
yeah, I love that school, man. I miss it. It doesn't look the same anymore. They took down the Breezewood, but other than that, you know, that's I'm glad to go from D.C. to Ohio to get my education at HBCU. And then I went to University of Maryland College Park back here in Maryland. But, man, there's a lot of memories up there, man. A lot of coming to age tales up there.
Listen, I've been on the campus, so I know that's why. In another life. We ain't going to talk about that today. In another life, though. Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. Shouts out to everybody who had a little fun before they rededicated themselves back.
Amen.
So come on, talk about it first, man. Before we talk about everything dope you got talking about, man, first, catch the people up on, man, a little bit of your faith journey, man, and how you kind of develop your own personal relationship with Christ.
Oh, yeah. So, man, okay. So I gave my life to Christ at 13 years old. I went to a church in the Hollywood, Maryland, actually, of all names, outside of College Park. And I remember Felician, this guy named Felician. He was Filipino-American, man. And I went to Bible school for a couple of weeks. My mother made me go to it because I got in trouble a lot. I actually got arrested for stealing a bicycle with one of my friends from New York, of all places. And so
was that your ride home? Was that your ride home, though?
Man, it was just something. It was a dare. It was like, hey, go grab that, man. And did that. And so what had happened was cop came to my house, but my mom planned it. She knew that it was not my bike. So my mom planned it and scared me. But they put the cuffs on and everything, man, and then took me down there. And I'm scared, thinking I'm going to do life or something like that because you're a child, right?
Right.
And, you know, that went through. That was a laugh and everything. Then my mom said, you're going to Bible school. Went to Bible school, loved it. And then all of a sudden they asked for you to come to Christ Jesus and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was like, whoa, something's tugging on me. I need to do this. I'm scared. I'm seeing all these people, all these kids looking at me. But I stepped out there and walked up, and my life's been changed ever since, man. I've been going strong for years, decades, just preaching the gospel through my acting, when I'm on social media, when I'm anywhere I'm at. I'm unashamed, 116, man, as they say down in the South. That's what I'm about. I'm about him. I'm about his name. I'm about him, making him famous. One of my friends, a close friend of mine, Cameron Arnett, I don't know if you know him. He's a big time actor in a faith-based film, and he has a thing called God Over Career, Christ Over Career, actually. And I'm really about that, even though I work in some secular films and stuff like that. But I'm really about that because the ministry behind the scenes, instead of being in front of the camera, you have it behind the scenes. You go out there and you have to make sure that you're out there with the sinners, preaching the gospel and living the gospel so that they see who He has transformed you to be. And a lot of people have come to Christ from just being who I am. And I, it's just amazing. It's an amazing walk, and I'm still learning and I'm still walking. That's in a nutshell right now. I don't know what else to say, but.
No, that was good. Thanks for sharing that. Have you done any seminary or have you been ordained as any minister, elder, deacon or anything?
Not at all, man. I guess I'm doing it like Paul, man. Paul was educated, but the other apostles, where they were just doing what they're supposed to be doing, and in Christ, that's what I'm doing best I can. I thought about it a couple of times, and I still am thinking about it. But right now, this acting career is taking up a lot of my time, and I feel that God is still having me in this area for right now to do things, and it's been a wonderful journey so far.
Thanks for sharing that. So, you're in a field that a lot of people would look at as, wanting to be, like you say, the best actor they can be, want to be popular, want to be rich, want to be famous. Can you just talk about a little bit of the struggles of that, of just navigating through, Hollywood or just being an actor? And where's the balance for you? Because I heard some powerful things that you just shared in your faith journey. Where's that balance between walking in purpose compared to trying to be popular? And how does that work with everything you do in acting?
Oh, man. Okay. So, social media is like, it's a terrible tool. And at the same time, it's a great tool. But when it comes to, when I say that it's a terrible tool, you can actually get caught up in the situation where you don't know that you're idolizing yourself because you're trying to work so hard with the grind and trying to perfect everything and do things for yourself to make yourself look good and get out there, that you're putting so much time into that. And you just sit back and you're like, man, hold up. I'm putting myself in, I'm putting myself ahead too fast, and I'm thinking about what I can do for this career. And you have to step back, and that's what God did for me actually, like a couple of months ago. I'm up in the grind, and I'm like, okay, I need to do the next thing, and all of a sudden I'm like, yo, Mike, you need to step back, and you need to give more time to Christ, because right now you're just thinking about you right now.
That's
and,
good.
And so I was like, whoa. And God literally allowed for me to be in a place where things weren't happening for me as fast as I wanted them to, so that I can give my time more to Him. When you're trying to do the grind and you're trying to get to the next, it's like it's so quick. But then when it's not quick, and then God's like, I need your time. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take everything away from you so that you can give me your time, because I love you. I'm first. You know, you're starting to put this idol type situation in front of your face, and you need to understand where you're at. Even if it's faith-based film, even if, you know, you're being successful, it's a great thing. But at the same time, God demands His time. That's who we were created. We were created to worship, and we were created to be about Him and to make Him famous first. None of this other stuff that we have. I'm in that journey right now, actually. Things are going good. I still have a lot of filming and all of that. But it's like, okay, Mike, let's get into the Word. Let's fast against a lot of things, and the supplication, the fasting, and preaching and teaching as best as you can, you know, and allowing folks in the body of Christ to let you know, hey, Mike, these are the things that I think you should be working on, because I'm seeing some things here and there, and I'm like, okay, and you know, you got to let that pride go, you got to be humbled, and you know, it's for the best for you. It's to allow you to see things. You know, something, we all need each other. We're the body of Christ. We all need each other. You can't do it on your own. We are our brother's keeper. So I just truly appreciate the moments that I'm having right now concerning that. So that's my walk right now. What can I say? Like, when I'm in the secular field, it can be tempting. It can.
Come on, we talk about it. Listen, yeah. I love the way you say tempting. So the first thing I got to ask, are you married?
I'm divorced, unfortunately. You've been divorced for about like 12 years now.
Okay.
But the temptation for that, of course, the beautiful women.
Yeah. Come on, because I'm about to say, I've seen a couple of your films. Yeah, these ain't no. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, these films out there. Yeah, there's some beautiful women that I know that are friends of mine, and I've had my advances and stuff like that. But, it's like I know what I want and who I am and what I need. And I always ask God, give me what I need. And so I've been through that journey for a while. And when you're in the secular film industry, man, it's just like, whoa, the women are fine, bro. And it's easy to slip up. So you have to be in the Word, man. You have to pray. You have to pray daily. You have to pray while you're on set. You have to ask for permission to say, hey, can I pray before we start up? You know, and I do that. I try my best to say, can I say a prayer, or I'll go out there and do my prayer if no one wants to do it, so that I can make sure that I'm representing Christ, because you can actually start being like those people. You are the company that you keep. So you have to. Yeah, it's not easy, man. But at the same time, it's a joyous occasion when you're seeing people come up to you and say, hey, man, about this Christ thing. I see how you walk and stuff like that. I'm not about that life right now, but, you know, here and there, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, you just plant the seed, and you say, okay, you pray for them and you keep it moving. And I've seen a complete 180 in a couple of people already, and it's beautiful. And, I just keep praying and believing that, you know, that people will get out of the world and come to Christ, because, you know, we're in the last days. And as you can tell, this crazy stuff that's going on right now, especially in the movie industry, everything's getting worse when it comes to movies. If you think about it, when it comes to the subject matter, it's always about sex. It's always about sex.
and more sex.
And then it's more, you know, about crime thrillers, you know, especially an African-American community. We're so engrossed in and crime thrillers for some reason, and the sex has to be in it. The Tubiville, you know, Tubi, like, for instance, you know, you watch those movies and you just like everything African-American, and in there is 80% crime thriller sex, like literally. And it's something that I want to change as I progress through as an actor, to say that you don't have to do those things, and that you can have crime thrillers, you can have this and that, you can have these type of situations, but you don't have to have the sex. You don't have to have the stereotypical things that we are creating as human beings in movies. There's a whole lot more to storytell than just those subject matters. There's a whole lot more.
I agree.
So, you know, I'm a guy that likes sci-fi fantasy, believe it or not. That's something that I'm pretty good at. And, you know, and I love faith-based film. But at the same time, when it comes to faith-based film, we got to get out of the corny faith-based films. You know, we got to get out of the box. We got to talk about real world situations, man, and real world issues. And I've done some corny films. I'm just, you know, anyone that's listening, that's my director. I'm just keeping it real, because we need to really be bold and courageous when it comes to filmmaking, preaching Christ. It doesn't have to be family friendly. There's things that some children should not be able to see in faith-based film. It should be adults. And then we go back and then we talk to our kids about it and allow them to understand and know that these are the things that are happening. But it's time to iron sharpens iron. It's time to really be really truly bold with faith-based filming. And I'm here for it. And yeah. I've always been about that life as well. So
you've been doing an amazing job of it. Listen, Michael J. Patterson is on with us. We got to go to a break. Don't touch that dial. We're coming back with more. You see, preaching. Listen, we're going to talk a little bit more with Michael J. Patterson in a minute. We got to go to a break. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Super Bowl 58 was just the second time that we saw the big game go into overtime. And guess what? We have a new dynasty.
In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front. Receiver in motion. Low snap. He runs and he throws. Caught. Touchdown. It's caught. Hardman caught the ball. The Chiefs have won. The entire bench empties. Chasing Mahomes in the end zone. Their third Super Bowl in 5 years. The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It is a dynasty.
Thanks to Kevin Harlan and Westwood One, as the Kansas City Chiefs came back to beat the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in overtime. It is the Chiefs' third Super Bowl title in 5 years and their second in a row, as they become the first team in 19 years to win back-to-back titles. Patrick Mahomes was a Super Bowl MVP, throwing for 333 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. He also ran for 66 yards in the win and talked about getting that gutsy win in Las Vegas.
It was the defense just keeping us in there, and then the offense making plays when it counted. And then, of course, Harrison Butker hitting from about 70. So it was a microcosm of our whole season. I'm just proud of the guys. They kept believing. And I'm proud of the coaches for calling up those plays. They got us some touchdowns there at the end.
So what's next for the Chiefs? Well, Kansas City will have a parade on Wednesday. Then the NFL draft gets underway in 87 days. By the way, the Chicago Bears have the first pick in the 2024 draft. All right, before we go, you always know we got to talk about our scripture verses of the day. And this is a great one. It comes from Psalms 93, verses 1 and 2. And it says this: "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty and splendor. The Lord has clothed and encircled himself with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." Again, that's Psalms 93, verse 1 and 2. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble, as The Fix is in.
And we back, DJ Focus. We back, and we still having a great conversation with Michael J. Patterson. He's been talking to us well about a lot of great things. So, Mike, come on, man. How did you even get into acting? Because believe it or not, man, I've been listening to you, man, talk, and I asked the question, have you done any seminary, or are you some licensed or ordained minister in some form? I really feel like, from what I'm hearing, like, you should be somewhere, like, not to say you're not preaching the gospel in your scenes, but I feel like you should have your own ministry. So where did the acting come into play when you first initially, was this in college? Did you always kind of inspire to be this kind of growing up?
Well, it started when I was 12, man. Been acting since I was 12 years old in theater. I have a really large theatrical background, Shakespearean, chilling circuit, anything that's dramatic. I did a lot of that, and stage combat as well, because I do martial arts and stuff like that. So I wanted to combine all of those things together. And so at
Let me find out it's a film of you and Michael Jai White going at it. Let me just find out that, you know what I'm saying, behind closed doors, you said, you know what, Mike versus Mike, let's go.
Man, Mike will punish me, man. He will punish me. Shout out to Michael Jai White, though. He's a guy that I really looked up to as well. But yeah, so I did a lot of theater at 12, and throughout my teenage years, college years, and even in my 20s. I tried to go to the Hollywood way, fell miserably. God was like, it's not time for you to do such and such. So, you know, I went back to, you know, school, got my certifications in IT. I'm an IT engineer by trade. Did that, had kids, you know, stuff like that. Had to take care of the kids. They got older. Then God was like, hey, I want you to start doing it at 33. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm thinking I'm too old. And you know, in the 2010, 15, you're thinking like, okay, that's over. Now I need to just go ahead and concentrate on, you know, providing for family and doing things, other things. But God was like, no, go ahead and try this out. So I started doing short films. And I did a little here and there, big films, like Hollywood films, as extra, you know, Hunger Games. I did actually a 7 day with that one, and I had an actual role and scene in there, but they put me on the edit floor. So they gave me a credit as an extra on that. And that's when my career just started blossoming, because I started networking, because network is what you have to do as an actor. And ever since then, I did short films, major feature films and indies, and then just, it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and I just kept landing roles. And the thing that I liked about theater is that it helped me become an actor where I'm able to stretch my muscles anytime, type of way I want. I can go from comedy, action, martial arts, sci-fi, fantasy, drama, emotional drama, family films, and faith-based films all across the board. I'm able to do those things, and I'm not bragging. It's just that that's what the training had given me as in theater, as well as going to school and class for our film and TV, as well as voiceover. So it's just a lot of training, a lot of networking, a lot of belief in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit when he says move. There have been many times that I've moved when the Holy Spirit said don't move. And I've been in films where I'm like, makes I'm sense. Regretting this, man. Like, why am I doing this film? And it's just, I'm just keeping it real. And it helped me with my career. But at the same time, there's that fork. And you're like, are you going to go this way? Are you going to go that way? So the ones that I didn't obey the Holy Spirit to go, I could have been a guy that made a lot of money and doing a lot of different things. But I was like, no, God, not my will, your will. So I went here and just kept, you know, it tries to do this to me sometimes, you know, like, and that's just the life of an actor. Because the thing is you want to remain relevant. You want to work. You know, I'm working full time as an actor. So there's that. There's not a lot of faith based film for African Americans still. Just to keep it real, there isn't. And then the faith based films that are for African Americans, they pay low or they pay nothing. And there's a lot of that too. Well, so you're dealing with that dilemma. Then when you're dealing with the secular dilemma in secular filming, they're like, I want you to do such and such. And you're like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, one thing I will not do in film is sleep with women in film. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not trying to be, Denzel Washington when he says that, but I'm just being me. I'm just being something I will not do. There can be romance and stuff like that, but it's just like after that, it's a wrap. You know, that's not for somebody to be seeing, because you can help with their lust issues. Or at the same time, you have kids that are watching movies 24/7 that see you doing that stuff. And you're saying you're a man of God, but then you're doing something on film that's totally opposite, contrary. So it's a hard, bro. Ooh,
listen, hold on 1 second. I got to stop you for a second. Thank you for sharing that. So yes, where's the balance at? Because we have this conversation all the time on the show when you talk about the balance between, you know, being able to be a believer in these spaces, being able to act in these roles. To your point, you say certain roles you won't take because you don't want to not only cause yourself to stumble, but your brother to stumble. Right. So where's the balance at? We ask this question all the time. Where's the balance between accountability and judgment? What's your perspective on accountability and judgment? How does that look to you?
That's a hard question, because the thing is that when you know that you know that you know, when you read the script, it's like you should say no at the point where you see all of this crazy stuff going on in the script. You're like, no, I can't do that. Money's coming at you like 10 grand an episode or something crazy like that. You know, I've had that come to me, and it's just like, I can't do this. I want to do this. My body, my flesh is like, yo, what are you doing? Right? But the Holy Spirit, me wanting to obey God as best as I can, man. I'm not all, you know, we all stumble. We all fall short of the mark, but we can't use that as an excuse. We have to really live that. So when those things come at me, I'm just like, I can't do that. I can't do it. I'm going to look at something else. And you'll go through the motions of depression and anxiety and like, okay, I need to just hang this up or whatever. But the thing is that you just, there's certain things you just can't do. And that's what it is. You have to know how to say no, man. You just have to know how to say no and stay at it. And people will respect you, man, because when they see that you're doing those type of things, they'll say, okay, well, we're going to put them in this block of films, you know? So that's been kind of like my career as it is, because there's a lot of people that have come to me like, hey, man, I know this is something that you don't want to do, but man, we really like what you're doing as an actor and you're really good for this part. And that's the enemy. Like, you know, we battle against, you know, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers in high places. So they use your friends, they use your directors you work with, they use the word of mouth and all of that. And you're like, oh, that sounds great. And then you get into the talks with people and then you hear what they want to do, what's their mission statement. And you're like, okay, this is great. And then you walk about it, they're like, nope, you know, and you have to maintain, because God is in control of everything. If you feel like you're not doing as much as you were doing before, God has a way to change it all for you to be able to work.
Yes, he does.
He has. You can't limit God. You can't limit him. So that's my faith, is believing in that. I know that God can't be limited, and I know that I can still do this thing and not compromise. You know, and that's the best way that I can explain or answer your question.
No, that was good. Yeah. Thanks for answering it. Come on, before we get you out of here, man, talk about what you're working on now. What current films or are you working on, or ones that are getting ready to release that you've already done completed?
Okay, so I would say for faith-based films that have already been completed, I did a film called Fabled. It's called Fabled, and it's on Tubi right now, actually, and it's on Amazon. It's basically a sci-fi fantasy faith-based film where I play as an inquisitor, Walt Whistle, who's 130 years old and is trying to fight against good, is in a fight against good and evil, and I lead in that film. And it's something that was challenging. It's very dialogue-heavy, and I like that. From a theatrical background, so that's something I think that people should look at, especially the kids that are age 12 and up, just to see how cool it is to see that sci-fi and fantasy can actually intermingle with faith-based film. There is another movie that I've done called Running the Bases. That's on Amazon as well. It's a baseball film. Now I jump into the secular. There's a movie called Million to One by Harold Jackson, which is really good, actually. It's a rom-com, and it's doing very well. There's a movie that's gritty crime drama called Iceman, and you probably seen that or whatever, or saw the
it's very
gritty. Yeah, and I played a guy that, you know, I come from the DC area. So like, you know, when the 80s and 90s, the crack era and stuff like that, I saw that stuff when I was a kid. I saw a lot of crazy stuff. So I know how to grasp individuals that I've seen. And then not influence me, but allow me to see what happens. And I used that character, and I played that character, Iceman, because I was playing a junkie, actually. But it stretched my actor muscles to be able to portray an individual who's needing help. And at the same time, it's a catalyst for something that's a lot bigger than he thinks. And then there's the big movies that are coming out, because I don't want to take up your time. I have a movie called The Forge, with Cameron Arnett, Karen Abercrombie, and this amazing young guy who I can't say our relationship and everything, but Aspen Kennedy is somebody that you want to actually have on your show. This man is amazing. Young man is amazing. And I got to work with those guys. And this is going to be one of my biggest films that I've ever done in my life. It's a Sony production, Kendrick Brothers. You know those.
Yes, guys. Absolutely.
I worked with them hand in hand, actually, in the scenes that I did. So it was an amazing blessing to be able to do that. And Cameron Arnett was with me as well as Aspen Kennedy. So that movie is needed for us as men of God, black men of God, that, you know, when it comes to the generational curse breaking, when it comes to accountability and responsibility, when it comes to breaking the yoke so that we're able to move forward in generations and that our generations can be better than us when it comes to preaching the gospel. That movie is the movie that's going to be amazing. War Room has nothing on it. It's actually in the War Room universe, but this movie is going to be bananas, man.
War Room was amazing. So you say, listen, you saying it's topping War Room, huh?
It's topping War Room, bro. Okay. I promise you, man. And then there's the last movie I can talk about. It's called the, oh my goodness, Disciples. Disciples in the Moonlight. That's the movie. And this movie is a sci-fi, not sci-fi, it's a dystopian thriller, Christian film that is big. It's going to, I can't talk really a lot about it because it's really big. At the same time, it's super secret, but Disciples in the Moonlight is another one that's on the Forge type of a platform. It's going to do very well. And the synopsis is about Bible smuggling in a dystopian America where it's outlawed and they create their own Bible to be synonymous with political agendas, basically Antichrist agendas. And so that movie, I can't wait till it comes out. And I play a guy. I can tell you my character's name is Tynan. And that's all I can say, actually. His name is Tynan. And you will enjoy this movie and you will keep guessing, is what I can say.
Appreciate you, Michael, man. Tell the people how they can connect with you, man, and how they can follow you on all your social media platforms.
Hey, yeah, man. You can reach me at Michael J. Patterson on Facebook. You'll see my big forehead, Michael J. Patterson. You'll see me on Instagram. I'm actor_Michael J. Patterson. And those are the best handles. And if you want to check out my IMDb page, Michael J. Patterson, to see the films that I've been, I got about 85 credits to my name. So I'm a working actor, man, and I'm about the business for real. And I really appreciate you all. And I pray the hedge of protection over every single one of you all and your families, and walk that walk and walk it hard, and know that God will never, ever, never, ever abandon you, ever. And we just, much love to you guys. Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, keep it locked. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more. You tune in to The Fix. You know The Fix is in. All right, Dice. I know Saturday, I think Saturday or what? It might have been Friday, late Friday evening. I was just searching, you know, searching on, you know, looking on, surfing a little bit on Instagram. And I noticed that Kiki Wyatt, that is, listen, super songstress, actress. She does a little bit of everything, been doing it for a long, long time. She announced that she's opening up her own church with another pastor who they're looking to plant a church in Atlanta, I believe, and open this thing up. And she was very vocal about who she wants her audience to be to come into her church, wasn't she?
I can't even believe we got to report this, Focus. Everybody from TMZ to Ricky Smiley. We got enough issues. And I love her. I love her music. But I will be honest with you. I am not a joker when it comes to starting churches. I mean, I have gone back and forth with some men and women of God who's like, I'm just going to open me a church. That's not what that is. This ain't what we do. You know, I watched the video. Because I want to be fair. And I was sitting there and I was like, Lord, let me sit down before I say anything. If you feel led to open something, I would like to hear you tell me about the process of you and God walking. This is what I personally want. You know what I'm saying? Because we should be very protective of who you're about to try to minister to. And so I don't know. I just think we joked. I'm not saying she's a joke, but I think we joke too much when it comes to God. It's like, God is so transformational. When he changes you, it's evident. When he changes you, you're not the same. When he calls you to a ministry, people feel it. You know what I'm saying? People know. And I just got a sense of she and her, what's his name? Larry Weathers, Pastor Larry Weathers. Maybe they have been doing this thing in the works. I just felt like the way she tried to defend herself and her music. Well, I'm still going to be doing this, but I'm going to be doing this. And, you know, fine. It's going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I love that because we don't like getting up. I do like getting up. And true Christians just get up and seek him early. I don't like that dismissive tone. Churches all over the world, people still get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to practice at church. And then we have service at 9:30 and another service at 10. And some of us is about that life, 1:30 and 2. So I didn't like that. And here's the thing. Well, another thing I don't like is you trying to act like these churches ain't accepting gay people. I can go to any church across the world right now, and it's probably some gay people up in there, and they probably serving in a church, and we know that they're gay. So that's not the issue. The issue is the energy for me. That's the problem for me. You know what I'm saying? If you say you truly love people, then you need to love church folk too. I've been hurt. Who ain't been hurt? And when she was talking about church hurt, I was like, it's not the church that hurt you. It's somebody at a church that hurt you, ma'am. I need you to start talking like that. And I need y'all. And I mean, I need the body of Christ to start pointing them out too. Don't stop saying, oh, church, 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 church. I ain't going to no church across the world ever again. No, you need to start saying, I'm not going to church where Pastor or Sister Johnson did me wrong. And if they are over that ministry, I shall not be a part of it. But stop saying, it ain't every church. It's not every church. And so I don't like it when people think that because you've had a little funky experience or you think some churches are being biased, oh, I got to go start something. Well, good luck, boo. Good luck. And if God called you to it, it's going to be successful. And I love that if that happens. But stop starting stuff out of hurt. That's my thing. That was my, and it just kind of seeps through the screen on the video. So that's what I didn't like, folks. I was like, where's the joy?
It sounded very personal. It sounded really personal.
Yeah, be happy. Like, really personal. And here's the deal. When you come to know the Lord, you are excited. You're on fire for the Lord. You're just pumped. You don't even have to call out all that other extra stuff that you know maybe does exist. You're just like, I cannot wait for God to use me and this word to flow. Like, I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? That I get to do this. And yes, yeah, I don't want to hear about you going to do R&B after you leave church on Sunday. I don't want to hear it. Even if that's what you do, we ain't got to talk about that. So it's just some red flags for me. And I'm tired of people starting ministries and then they fall off 2 years later. Because I'll be real with you. I know there's a special place in hell for people who think they were called to the ministry and they think it's a joke. And then they lose the sheep that came to eat. And now they all scattered because you had a moment. So I'm praying to God this is not that. Like, honestly, my soul was like, dear God, I pray to God that they are focused. And this shout out to Kiki and Pastor Larry, like, I really am praying for the soundtrack, especially Atlanta. You know, it's personal to me. ATL has been through way too much, too many pastors, too many shady ministries. So all things Atlanta, I am super protective of, because my friends, my personal friends and family, they have kids now. So no, I don't want them drawn to a ministry just because a person is a famous person, and it happens all the time. Please make sure you are a man or woman of God and you about to lead these babies the right way. So don't. Yes. And call. You know, and I prefer you to actually go sit up underneath somebody and learn something first. But you know what? Maybe not you. And I know it's a different church and I'm fine with that. But I'm saying, like, I this thing put me on guard. I just was like, okay, I love you. I do. I'm praying to God. You actually got a good covering and a good community and people are going to be there for you. You know, and be there for the church. And that's all I got to say about that. Ooh, I know that was a mess. Go ahead.
Well, I'm hoping one thing she did say, and I'm hoping she stays true to this. She said this is going to be a non-traditional space focused on worship and the word.
That's
so
it.
I worship pray that, yes, between her and Pastor
she
Larry.
She may be doing the worship part, and he may be doing the word part. I don't know.
And that's fine, but don't skip past things, because she kept saying judgment quite often. She said judgment quite often, a place where you're not where it's not judgmental, where you come as you are. Absolutely, to your point, Dice, come as you are. No, we don't stay as we are. The sanctification process, the transformation process needs to start you know, as soon as you start, you know, as you can. So, no, life groups need to be there. Grief counseling needs to be there. All these things need to be in place so that way people get the resources they need to start learning how to be more like Christ, because Christ is the example, not just you could just keep doing what you want to do. No.
ATL all day. I mean, from Candler Road, Fulton Industrial, you name it, Marietta, Alpharetta, Lawrenceville, Gwinnett. There are so many places you can go to actually start ministry already there, and you can go partner with somebody else. They don't need another church. I promise to God, we don't need another building. But I also want to say, like, you can go on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many places that will allow you to pop up. And I'll be real with you. I would have started there, but this ain't my ministry. So, I'm just saying, like, you know, I love Atlanta, you know, like I said, that's my home. So I feel a type of way about somebody else trying to start something else. And, but you know, maybe this will just be a place, like she said, hey, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, for those who like to sleep in or not trying to get up early, or, you know what I'm saying? Maybe this will be a good opportunity for a different type of audience, you know, who's seeking the Lord at a different time of day to at least come and get some word. Like, I'm all for the word. I'm definitely all for the worship, but I'm definitely for the called before anything.
Facts. I am too as well. Please be called to be a pastor. This is not a loose thing that you just jump into like it's a regular just business you just trying to start up.
It's real. It's lives. It's souls and lives at stake. And so you got to remember that. This is not just I can sing, or, oh, I can get into that word. And it's lives, man. And it's a long-term thing. That's why I'm like, any of you listening, you're like, man, I don't know, God's calling me to do my ministry. Okay, fine. God is not just calling you to do ministry. He's calling you to do life with people. And that's how you have to have it in your soul. Yes. It's like life. Like, I'm about to do life with these people until the end of time.
All right. Listen, coming up, don't touch that dial. We got a real talk conversation. We go into a break. We coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. It's time to get real in these streets. And it's that week. You know, we love Lovers Week, so. We might as well have some conversations about relationships this week, Dice. So I figured, let's start it off strong. Why not? Let's talk about the lack of discipline in the marriage. I think for me, when I think about discipline and being, you know, self-disciplined within the marriage, I think any successful marriage needs discipline. Because if not, let's be very clear, you're going to go do things you have no business doing. You know, you talk about a husband that needs to control his anger, and if he doesn't discipline himself to control his anger, well, we know we have a lot of domestic situations that come out of that, where you see abuse within a marriage, and that could be either way, you know, maybe a wife too as well, when you talk about physical abuse. So of course, if you don't discipline yourself, you can get yourself caught up in stuff you ain't got no business doing. Let's be very clear. When you talk about everybody going out and cheating on their spouses, it takes discipline to go home. It takes discipline to say, you know what? Even if my flesh is arising and I want to do something else, I'm not going to do it because I know what I'm called to. I understand the covenant that I took. So, just wanted to open up this conversation on just self-discipline within a marriage and see if we can see what God do. See if we can bless the masses today, Dice.
I don't know, man. I think you're going to start this week off getting a lot of people upset with you, bro, because obviously, and we know from therapists, there are a lot of marriages in trouble. It's just a fact. You know, it's unfortunate, though, but it is what it is. And I know it's easy to get caught up in, like you said, we were in cuffing season, you know, and it goes all the way till what? Valentine's Day or
right on this time. And statistics say by the end of this week, Dice, it might be over.
That's it. It's unfortunate. But I mean, honestly, I think for me, this is frustrating because you and I both know we had to go through marriage counseling. Not had to, but our pastor referred us to a great Christian marriage counselor. And both my husband and I, being married previously, it was necessary because we needed to know one, if this is really what we should be doing, we needed other people praying with us and for us and in it together. But then you also needed to hash out some of your stuff in front of somebody who had no bias toward either one of you, but they're just going to tell it like it is. I think that discipline is lacking in many marriages because of the lack of courting. I just don't think people know how to court correctly. And so by the time you get in it, now you're stuck with a person who's undisciplined in so many ways. But you would have learned that if you would have spent a little time or took them around your family and friends and church and let other people see this person, because other people are, they locked in, man. Some people can call out stuff you, cause you've never seen a person, you know, like, this at this age, you know, like a 50-year-old, if you're getting married at 20, they can tell you a whole lot about who you're about to marry. They can tell you a whole lot cause they have been around a block a few times. So that they, as soon as they see them and hear them talk, they're going to tell you like, So, you know what I'm saying? This is what I see. This is what I hear. You know what I'm saying? Are you ready for that? So it's important to share your person before you get married with other people, I think. And they have that vast ability to be led of the spirit or to just see habits that they formed already, you know, and they can call them out for you. So, you know, I think a lot of people wouldn't be in an undisciplined marriage if they would have introduced their to-be person to other people.
Well, that's a good point. And I think too, as well, even in that dice, I think you have to be careful because depending on who's in your circle and who you really, you know, who has your ear, sometimes that can be, you know what I'm saying, not a good thing. Cause I've seen some marriages break up because of jealousy or people just being spiteful and saying things or, you know, making up things about people that are not true. So yeah, I've seen it both ways. You're right. Absolutely. You definitely have wise counsel and definitely the courting process. Like you say, during the courting process, this is when you should find out your spouse's weaknesses or your person that you're dating, their weaknesses. And, you have to be okay with taking their weaknesses for who they are for face value and seeing if this is something you, like you say, you want to pursue long time or, if you want to say, you know what, maybe, you know, we're not equally matched or, you know, there's a few things that are like non-negotiable for me that I really can't, you know, get past. And I think that's when maybe, like you say, that courting process is so important.
I'll push back on everything you just said real quick. And the reason why I'm going to say what I'm going to say is these are some red flags, right? Not just if you have a good circle, but if this other person, if you can't introduce them to your kids, if you have previous kids, if you can't introduce them to your parents, if you can't introduce them to your best friend or your, you know what I'm saying? If you can't introduce them to, like, if you can't take them out in the daytime, if they don't know where you live, you know, like, it's just a lot. So for me, I'm like, not just saying, you know, cause maybe everybody don't have good Christian friends. I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of different types of exposure you can expose a person to during that dating process that will say a lot about them, you know? So I, you know, I'm just saying, like, I just don't think people include enough people in their next thing. And it doesn't have to be like your, you know, auntie or uncle. It could be strangers, you know, but I don't know. That's just my take on that.
No, that's good. I appreciate you sharing it. I think just everybody's experience is different because some people, even with their family, they family is still toxic. They family, let's be very clear. Everybody ain't got loved ones that love them. Some people got loved ones that are haters.
I know. That's why I said have a variety. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like not just like you at the family reunion. It's like, no, take them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Go be around somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, get good exposure together in your community. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, we're talking about it today. We're talking about it, you know, lack of discipline in the marriage, you know, hinder the relationship. Listen, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with more. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Hey, Super Bowl 58 is in the books as the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers 25-22. But here's the main question, and I know this is on everybody's mind. What was the best Super Bowl commercial? Well, here's a couple of favorite of mine, all right? The first one is the State Farm commercial where Arnold Schwarzenegger's Australian accent makes it difficult for him to be able to say neighbor. He says neighbor, neighbor. I thought it was something pretty cool to be able to see it. Look, he needs help from everybody to be able to go and be able to say neighbor. He goes through different action scenes. There's everything from puppies to helicopters and even some explosions. That 1 minute ad had absolutely everything. My next favorite was the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. It was cheesy with Ben Affleck as he was out to prove that he could be a pop star just like his wife, Jennifer Lopez, in this recording studio. And he brought in the help of Tom Brady and a very reluctant Matt Damon. It was funny, and look, if it's funny, it really works out for me. Finally, we have to give a shout out to Queen Bey, okay? Beyonce and her Verizon commercial was just perfect. It was full of personality, and trust me, it's one that you have to go back and watch. But let's hear from you. What did you think about the Super Bowl commercials? And also, what did you think about Usher's halftime performance? Let me know on X at Justin Adams TV. Again, Justin Adams TV. Or you can hit up my man DJ Focus at DJ Focus 4. Again, DJ Focus 4. And we'll read throughout all your comments all week long. Such a great Super Bowl, especially with the commercials. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble, as The Fix is it.
Back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, still in the middle of our Real Talk conversation, just talking about today, the lack of discipline in the marriage. And I guess we got to talk about some of the benefits, too, as well, Dice.
I mean, there are many, many benefits of you being, you know, disciplined in a marriage, or should I say just consistent and faithful and dedicated in a marriage, you know, and obviously communication is number one. I think this goes both ways. I think you have to be disciplined in that is what, you know, I want to say. And then, of course, if you don't have good communication, well, we know where that's going to lead you. you probably won't be married too much longer. So,
Yeah, facts. That's pretty much
at
yeah.
all.
yeah,
just let it go.
And I think that's a constant. I think you continue to learn your spouse each and every year. So communication changes. So yes, absolutely,
yeah, it changes.
I agree.
Yeah, it changes. I think when you first get married, you got a lot to say, and then when you start living with somebody, you learn their ways, and then you just learn what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like you get married, you're like, I don't know, making sure the dishes are washed at night and the clothes are picked up off the floor. And then 10 years in, you're like, I'll wash some dishes in the morning if I feel like it. And your clothes are going to be on the floor unless you wash them. So communication does change. You're like,
and it's funny you bring it up.
I'm not going to argue with you about it. Yes, right. I'm not arguing no more. Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, because that was something that I had to learn too as well. Because again, the discipline of my wife. Yeah, absolutely. She came up. She liked it a certain way, mm-hmm. and my ass was probably the opposite of what she liked. So
right.
We had a bunch of nice communication debates as it would be, because I was like, I don't see what's so wrong with it. She's like, no, we would never do that in our house growing up. I'm like, okay.
You got to pick your battles, though, when you get married. Pick your fight. Pick the one that makes most sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, does this really matter at the end of the day? No. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't matter, we're not talking about it anymore. So, yes, communication does change as you stay in a relationship. The longer you stay in a relationship, how you communicate changes. But I would say support. I think you need to be very disciplined at supporting each other. I think that matters more than anything, even in the midst of an argument that you guys haven't found a solution to, you know, where it's like, we're just going to agree to disagree, but I'm going to support whatever you got going on. You know, like, I'm still here for you, even though you know how I feel about said situation. You know, I think that probably matters right after communication.
I hear a lot of, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I hear a lot of people say that they struggle in this area when you talk about supporting each other. And I don't know, I just feel like sometimes, and we talk about it all the time, do you feel like, people feel like they on a different team? Like, you're on the same team. I don't understand how the support thing is a bad, you know, what's the issue with it? Like, you literally married this person. You should want to support them in all areas of their lives. But I hear a lot of people saying, no, they don't. They don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird. I mean, you would want the best for the person you're with, and you would want them to have the best experience in life, and you would want them to have the best marriage in life, and you would want to be the best friend because hopefully you're their best friend. So you thinking you're on two different teams is definitely weird. So I don't get it. Shout out to all y'all who got your marriage going when y'all don't support each other.
God bless you. I don't understand it.
God bless you. Yeah. let's see. I would say, being disciplined in, your emotions, I think is important. Being tapped into the other person, you know, being empathetic, you know, not necessarily always sympathetic, but definitely empathetic to the person you're with. But, you know, cause sometimes I think you can lean heavily on the other person, not realizing that this person has you leaning on them every day. Like when do they actually get an opportunity to be free of you? You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we don't think about okay, maybe I need to check in and make sure you're okay. You know, because you just assume that you guys are doing life together, that the person's always right and they're always in a good space and they don't, you know what I'm saying? Because we're together forever. So it's you and me. But sometimes, you know, you need to check in, I think, on the emotions of your other person. And I would say be disciplined about it, maybe at least once a week.
I agree with you on that. And I think, too, as well, shouts out to everybody who understands and knows, you know, your spouse's emotional state. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes, like you say, when you need that check-in is very important. Mm-hmm. If you feel like they might be in, you know, maybe grieving or just, you know, down, kind of depressed. Mm-hmm. You got to check in and say, what's going on? You know, make sure you can be that calm or mm-hmm. that peace or just the heart with ears. I say it all mm-hmm. the time. Sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. Let them speak.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
That's good.
What else do you think? I would say honesty. That thing right there. Be very disciplined in being honest. Marriage is not the place for lies. It's just not. It's not the place for secrets. It's not the place for lies. And so if I had to counsel anybody who was going to get married, I would let them know, if you have a tendency to not be honest, you definitely don't want to be married. Don't want to be married. Because you become one. So all of your drama, and it's funny because a lot of people say this in the world, I can't say that, or I can't tell them about that. Okay. What you don't want is for that to pop up later on. You don't want it 5 years in and it pops up all of a sudden, you know, because you might not be married after you live with a person and you've been lying to them every day. So, and lies can be, I just didn't tell you. I'm going to put that out there for those of you who still think you're not a liar. Hello.
Yeah,
it's crickets. What's up with the crickets? I was talking about disciplinary actions within America. I'm like, hello. Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Well, I think that's why the communication piece is so vital. And I think a lot of people need to understand how to effectively communicate in general, because mm-hmm. That's not something that's taught in every household. So from some households, especially specific cultures, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And I mm-hmm. think that shouldn't be, you know, that right there in itself, to me, limits communication. And if mm-hmm. you're taught that from a child and mm-hmm. you don't kind of deal with that as you become an adult, mm-hmm. that can be a hindrance on your communication and understanding what's going to trigger her or him to kind of go off the roof. If I really tell him mm-hmm. this or mm-hmm. I tell her this, how mm-hmm. is she going to receive it? And mm-hmm. yeah, when's the best time to even tell it? Because, you know, mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. conversations within a marriage are tough at mm-hmm. times. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can be very, very tough. Effective communication and honesty are two different things. And I just want to, I'm going to wrap my rant up on this one right here. I could tell you that, hey, I'm late for church. I'll meet you at church. I'm going to be late, 15 minutes late. Or I'm going to meet you at the restaurant. I'll be about 15 minutes late. Or yes, I can pick the kids up from school. I'm going to be about 15 minutes late. I'm communicating, right? I'm texting my partner. I'm calling my partner. And I'm like, I'm going to be, you know, I'm just running behind. But what I'm not maybe saying is it's because I'm contemplating suicide in the car every 15 minutes after everybody leaves the house. So it's like, be honest. You know what I'm saying? A lot of relationships, and I don't know who this is for. It must be somebody out there. It's like, communicate with your partner, even the things that you are afraid of, because That's why you're married. That's why God gave you a helpmate. You know what I'm saying? That's why God gave you a husband. That's why God gave you a wife, is to have somebody there for you. And the gift of finding somebody, or God sending somebody who you just so happen to be able to trust, that thing is huge. Some people never find it ever in this life. So it's like, if God gives it to you, you need to trust that God knew what he was doing when he gave you that person, you know? And it could be something so simple, something so super simple. Like, you know what? We're going to lose our house. So what? You can get another house. We still going to be married. We're going to go to an apartment. Who cares? But I'm just saying, like, man, these things matter. Learn to communicate honestly, not just communicate, but honest communication, I think, will save a lot of people, even people who got addiction. I'm still addicted to porn. Okay, well, now we can walk through it instead of I'm looking for you in the house for 30 minutes trying to figure out where you went. You know what I'm saying? Like, just say what it is.
Not 30 minutes in the house.
Yeah, just say what it is.
Where did you go? I'm in the closet.
It's like, what? Like, let's walk through this together. So that's what I'm saying. Like, appreciation of who you've been given, I think, is huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, not taking it for granted. Because they had the saying, what is it? So many fish in the sea. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Not for you. It might be some fish, but it ain't your fish. Somebody else's fish. Okay?
Leave that snapper alone.
Stick with the tilapia, because that snapper ain't you, you know? So, yeah. I just, you know, I like for marriages to work. You know, I am definitely an advocate for it, and I'm a true believer you can get through anything in a marriage. I mean, absolutely anything. If both of you really love God, if you love God, that's who you're going to go to help you in your marriage. And then if you truly love God, you're definitely going to love the person God gave you, you know, and really protect them, you know, and that person's going to protect you and want the best for you. So,
no, I agree. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, that's our Real Talk conversation for today. Listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. All right, happy birthdays today, Dice. Who's celebrating a birthday?
Well, listen, I know you're going to hate on the 16th president who led the country through the horrific American Civil War, but shout out to Abraham Lincoln. I just had to start out with him. Bill Russell, rest in power, brother, basketball player, legendary center, 5-time NBA MVP, and 12-time All-Star, okay? All things Boston Celtics. 11 championships from 1957 to 1969. And listen here, we had your boy Arsenio Hall's birthday today. He turned 67 years old, a famous and super popular TV show host, but also he was on The Celebrity Apprentice. He had his own reality show, and he's been in a couple movies. So, yeah, Cleveland, Ohio. That's why I had to bring him up, folks. I know you're just all about all things Ohio. And
you know it.
Robert Griffin, 2011 Heisman Trophy winner, Baylor University, drafted second overall by the Washington Redskins in 2012, went on to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Award. Okay, after 4 years in Washington, he signed to the Cleveland Browns in 2016. And then later, the Baltimore Ravens. Shout out to you, Mr. Robert Griffin III. So, yeah, listen, and happy birthday to each and every one of you today. I'm praying you have a super blessed day. Hopefully you get something that you wanted, or at least go somewhere you wanted to go. Oh, Gucci Man. Okay. Forgot about you, Gucci. Shout out to all things Gucci Man, the famous rapper. He started rapping at 14. He actually was charged, with murder, but he got out of there. He got out of there. It changed his life. So all things Atlanta. Happy birthday, brother.
And of course, we have to report the breaking news that came in late yesterday afternoon. Unfortunately, listen, prayers up to Pastor Joe Osteen as he responded to a woman coming in and firing during the service yesterday. Joe Osteen, he released a statement after a woman in a trench coat opened fire with a gun inside of his mega church. The shooting at the Lakewood Church in Houston took place shortly before the 2 p.m. Spanish service was set to begin. Now, two off-duty officers were working security. They actually confronted and killed the unidentified suspect. Police said that two people were shot and injured as well, including a 5-year-old boy who was entered the church actually with the woman. And the young boy was taken to the hospital and is currently in critical condition. Again, Joe Osteen released a statement saying, "Our community is devastated in today's event and grateful for the swift actions by the law enforcement who were on the site." He went on to say, "In the face of such darkness, we must hold on to our faith and remember evil will not prevail. God will guide us through the darkness of times. Together, we will rise above this tragedy and stand firm in our commitment to love and support one another. In times like this, our faith is tested, but it is also strengthened. We don't always understand why things happen like this, but we know that God is in control. Please join me in continued prayer and healing and hope for peace." And it's actually, you know, it's signed by Joel Osteen. This is a statement, official statement he put actually on his all his social media platforms too as well. So you can go to Joel Osteen's social media platforms to read that statement I just read. But we definitely are, again, praying for everybody that was, you know, impacted by this situation. I this is just, you know, something that, you know, you would think you're going to a safe haven, your church, just to praise and worship, and you never know when things like this are going to happen. So yeah, we're definitely praying for everybody that was at this live taping yesterday, that was in the church, definitely everybody who's injured. And we'll have more details on this coming up as the story continues to unfold. All right, don't touch that dial. We got much more to come today. We're going to a break. We'll be right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yo, what's good, family? Welcome back to Lyrics for the Mind, where we dive deep into the lyrics of impactful songs and explore the mental health themes they address. Today, we diving into We Against the World by Hovi featuring Andy Mineo, shedding light on mental health gems embedded in this track. Now, Hovi kicks off talking about taking chances on his own, but realizing it ain't easy as it seems. Mental health often starts with that solo struggle, thinking we gotta face everything alone and we don't need help. Hovi shifts the vibe with a powerful statement. If it's gonna be me and you, then it's we against the world. That unity, tackling life together, can have a profound impact on mental health. And when you talk about mental health strength and getting your mind to where it needs to be, you need unity. Statistics from Harvard Health Publishing suggest that strong relationships enhance mental health well-being. Now, Andy Mineo brings the realness, emphasizing that no man is on an island. He plants a vivid picture of people struggling by life's water, struggling, dripping all around. Isolation can harden hearts and lead to lasting conflicts. The lyrics unfold the layers of relationships, acknowledging misunderstandings that harden hearts. But there's a call to figure it out, to be better together than apart. Unity emerges as a powerful force against life's curveballs. Unity and collaboration are always going to be key points to help your mental health well-being. Now, Hovi keeps it real about sharing experiences, admitting it might slow you down a bit, lead to arguments, but ultimately cook up into some good stories. Mental health flourishes when stories are shared and supported in front of other people. Now, the chorus echoes the core message. It's We Against the World, an anthem of togetherness, resilience, and faith in life battles united. Listen, you're always strong, united. That wraps up We Against the World. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Reach out, share your struggles, and let's tackle the world together. This is Lyrics for the Mind, turning lyrics into life lessons. Bizzle just signed a new artist to God Over Money too as well. If you guys have not been following Bizzle, on Friday, he did announce that there is a new member to the team, and it's Jonah Daniel. He's actually in that busting track too as well. So yeah, Jonah Daniel is the newest member to God Over Money. So yeah, we already know some new heat about to be probably on the way, Dice. I know he teased the Submit to God track. So I don't know if that's just a promo or or if it's out. No, I think that thing is out already now. Yeah, that Submit to God by Jonah Daniel is out right now. So that's probably the first selection single from, you know, him being a part of the God Over Money movement.
Okay.
And all I got to say, Jonah, is you have to have some bars. If Bizzle picked you up, yeah, you can rap. Bizzle ain't never kept nobody around him that can't rap for real. Like, I'm talking about rap at a high level, too, as well. Like, lyrical bar spitters. So, salute to you, Jonah, man. We praying for you, man. Shouts out to you, Bizzle, for adding somebody new to the team. What's your thoughts on that, Dice? You know?
I love that. I love that. People be hating on Bizzle for no reason. I love Bizzle. I've always loved Bizzle. And this is what I want to say. I think our artists who we've kind of had these stricter guidelines on because of, you know, who they are, I think we got to understand, like, they've grown a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, this man has grown. He's been through the fire. Matter of fact, he's held that torch when we didn't hold that torch. So it's like, you got to put some respect on Bizzle's name. Like, he's been a boss. And of course, some people have thrown shade his way or had something to say about whatever. And we know, but he's been steadily on the same thing, not bending, or standing on truth and standing on business. And I love that. So I'm excited for them. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we got a lot of new other artists that are up and coming too as well. So y'all just listen, if y'all not tapping to. Well, just in general, I'm just reminding people about every Friday how we do the winning prescription, and we introducing these new artists every single Friday. So if this is your first time tuning in, shouts out to everybody on the West Coast just waking up with us. But every Friday we do a winning prescription where we have 10 songs that we review. We have 6 categories. We have a 1 through 13 mic scale. And we talk about everything that goes into it. Ministry driven is, you know, the originality, creativity about it, the production, the bars beyond, you know, on it. So, yes, tune in so you can find new artists or maybe some gems that you didn't even know about, some of your favorite artists. Yeah, that you had no idea. Oh, I didn't know they did that record. I heard it before. Or maybe I haven't heard that record before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tap in every Friday for the winning prescription. Yeah, we music heavy. Yeah, how good was that conversation? You know, we just talking about it, lack of discipline within a marriage, and I think we need to continue to grow.
Yeah.
We need to definitely self-reflect and see what we can do and how we can get better when it comes to self-control and making sure that we're doing things, you know, not for selfish motives, but understanding that we're doing things, you know, to please our spouses. You know, again, we want to show the marriage off in a way that God would be pleased, but also other people will see the glory on that marriage and like, ooh, I think I want to get married because I see that glow on y'all. Ooh, I see y'all talk pretty, you know, decent to each other. Y'all ain't all talking all foxy to each other. Ooh, you know, something. I'm just saying. I mean, because it take discipline, Dice, not to, you know, chew your husband out or chew your wife out. I mean, you got to discipline yourself to, you know, make sure you keep going home every day. You know, I'm just saying, it takes discipline to make sure you do right by, you know, your spouse. So, this is a real conversation we need to continue to have and grow from.
I love it. I mean, we're called to submit to each other, you know what I'm saying? And definitely love each other like Christ loves the church. And we already know how Christ feels about the church. I mean, there's nothing he won't do for the church. And so, you know, yeah. And here's the thing. If you think you've fallen out of love, fall back in love. Find something else to fall in love with. Like, just reinvent your marriage. That's my tip for you today. For those of you who are in this love season or coming out of cuffing season, or you missed cuffing season, or you in Valentine's Day, whatever it is, like if you're married, man, go ahead and make that thing refreshed, you know, go take a vacation together, you know, don't tell nobody, like, don't answer your phone, you know, just go spend some time together. Cause I'm gonna be real. You got to spend time with each other. That's super important. So if you got somebody, it's a gift. Trust me, it's a gift. So y'all hold on, hold tight. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And shouts out to our spiritual detox interview with our brother, Michael J. Patterson. Listen, super talented screenwriter, actor, he's a little pastor too as well. He got a little preacher in him too as well. You might have seen him in some films like Million and One, Iceman, Book One, Imposter. Like, yeah, you know, he's played in a lot of films, a lot of series. And I'm just pumped because we actually have some actors who understand that it's a business, but also they can choose if they want to continue to do business or take certain roles and not just take it just because they need a check and they trust in God a little bit more. So I appreciate him coming on and sharing that perspective today that, yes, he wants to be more worked up in God compared to just taking a check because, you know, he can get millions of dollars for taking a role or, you know, that's whatever it may be. So, yeah, that's it. All right, y'all. We love y'all. We're going to catch y'all tomorrow. Tap in with us on Tiptoe Tuesday. We're going to talk about it. Some of the top, we got to talk about some of the top Valentine gifts of 2024. So come on and hop in on that Real Talk conversation. Make sure y'all follow us on all social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show. That's D-A-F-I-X-X Radio Show. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, YouTube. Listen, like, comment, subscribe, and follow us on our YouTube channel and hit that notification bell. Shouts out to the winner too as well. We had a winner on Friday who won the YouTube subscribe giveaway. I keep telling y'all never know we're gonna do these giveaways. So whether you listen right here or you might want to follow us on social media because we can do a giveaway any day. So yeah, I want y'all to make sure, and we're gonna switch them up. Sometimes we're gonna do them right here on the radio, sometimes we're gonna do them about via social media. So make sure y'all following us on all social media platforms to stay up to date with the latest content, the latest giveaways, and everything else we got going on out here in these streets. We love y'all. Have a great day. As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace out.